Hello, fellow humans. Mark Carney is Canada's new prime minister. Considering Canada's flawed electoral system, many can argue this is the lesser evil. So what kind of leader is Mark Carney going to be? What are the values he stands for? I read for you Mark Carney's book, a 650 pages very long commentary about the values that are supposed to be fundamental for a thriving economy and a healthy society. The book feels like a massive political declaration, a very long CV for an application for a top job, in which Mark Carney has succeeded. It was published in 2021, so it appears to be part of a strategy for a very long game that may be even bigger than Canada. The attributes of values-based leadership, according to Mark Carney, are purpose, perspective, clarity, competence, humility. Purpose is what an organization stands for, why it does what it does, and what it should be trusted to deliver. Purpose requires balancing the core values of dynamism, responsibility, fairness, solidarity, and sustainability. Nothing stops us from attributing this definition to a factory owned by the state in a communist country, or to Amazon, Meta, Tesla, or a big fossil fuel company. Talking about leadership in abstract words like these leaves room for so many interpretations that the concept itself remains empty of substance. This is what I call murky leadership, which is based on abstractions that do not talk about the experience of regular people. The Global North captures more than 800 billion hours of labor from the South per year. This occurs because Southern wages are at least 83% lower than Northern wages for work of equal skill in the same sector. So what kind of purpose are we talking about here when capital accumulates into the hands of rich countries? Mark Carney is not specific about this. Would he support a higher purpose, meaning the cancellation of all debt for the global South? Leaders must have perspective. Consistent with purposeful ambition, leaders must assess the landscape to determine how their organization can plan the future. Ambitious leadership means helping to shape the future rather than just reacting to it. Creating decent living standards for 8.5 billion people would require only 30% of current global resource and energy use. There are no capitalist organizations that are interested in doing this kind of planning, because capitalism is designed for capital accumulation, not to increase living standards. Can we use ambitious leadership to tax billionaires out of existence so we can increase everyone's living standards, both in Canada and around the world? Leadership values that do not consider the quality of life of all humans everywhere are soapy values, like tiny bubbles that burst when you prick them with the needle of reality. The third essential quality of leadership is clarity. Clarity starts with the clarity of mind and sound judgment that arise from emotional awareness and control. A good leader is contemplative, meaning they can be present in the moment and find meaning in experience. What is the meaning of producing $1 million worth of bombs versus $1 million worth of medicine? They both count equally for the GDP. While Mark Carney seems to be aware that the massive failures of GDP to measure what matters for life, he does not mention the many alternatives to GDP. Here are some of them. Is Mark Carney clear about these metrics? Is he going to use them in Canada and shift away from the obsession with economic growth? How about well-being growth or the expansion of sufficiency? The next attribute is competence. Mark Carney writes, "No discussion of leadership should overlook the importance of competence. Plan beats no plan, but a plan well executed is best of all. Competence doesn't mean getting everything right, but it is important to get more right than wrong. Strategy is as important part of leadership, but execution is vital." Who decides what is the proper kind of competence? Surely, if we follow the logic of capitalism, competence of a leader means the ability to increase profits, the astuteness to innovate complex stuff whether it is needed or not, like a proper tech bro, with the purpose of even more capital accumulation, and to climb the ladder of influence, again, for the same purpose, the accumulation of wealth and power. Capitalism does not select competence from below. So-called competent leaders climb up only with approval from the existing status quo. You play by the rules, you are competent. This is also the major flaw in our electoral system, which assumes that people vote to select competent leaders. We actually vote for politicians pre-approved by the system. Political competence under capitalism is not determined by democratic means. If you are not famous or if you do not have enough money, you cannot win a political office. The final essential leadership quality is humility. Good leaders combine personal humility, self-knowledge, and the ability to learn. That means admitting mistakes, seeking and accepting feedback, and sharing the lessons. When leaders become overconfident or turn to writing books, they stop learning. Here's a challenge for Mark Carney, as they say in Parliament. Is the Prime Minister willing to accept that meritocracy is a scam, a delusion, and recognize that status and wealth are all consequences of luck and privilege? The challenge is this: pass a law that introduces a maximum limit on wealth of $10 million to show that humility also applies to wealth accumulation. A humble leader recognizes that material prosperity within narrow bands of distribution between the richest and the poorest has the best chance of reducing suffering and increasing well-being for the largest number of humans. At the same time, Mark Carney writes, the humble recognize the limits of meritocracy. Humility admits the role of good fortune and the responsibility that success brings, the duties that should be put into the service of purpose. Being humble is recognizing that we are custodians of our companies, communities, and countries, and that all are equal within, that the common good trumps utilitarianism. To avoid murky leadership and soapy values, it helps to sprinkle some numbers. For example, reduction of emissions to keep global warming under the 1.5 degrees Celsius. Canada would have to accelerate its mitigation rates by a factor of 30 in 2 years to be compliant with this target. So what kind of leadership is needed for these difficult decisions? Someone who can stand up to fossil fuel lobby. Someone immune to psychological pressure. Someone with an egalitarian moral value. Someone anti-capitalist. How many of these kinds of leaders do we have? While reading the book, I have been wondering if Mark Carney really understands the design of capitalism. He does write about Karl Marx, about the labor theory of value, yet he comes short from telling us why are the corporations organized the way they are. He writes, corporations own themselves, and central to British company law and American company law is the doctrine of corporate personality. The company is an entity independent of its managers, shareholders, employees, and creditors. Its directors thus serve its interests. They are not merely agents working on behalf of shareholders. This is not even lying by omission. Mark Carney could simply not realize the reality, but I do not think that is the case because he's too smart not to realize the moral implications of the kinds of behaviors that are promoted by capitalism. If corporations are some abstract entities that seem to operate outside the influence of humans, that means corporations have some sort of agency, a sort of freedom of will that is somehow similar to that of a human. This personality has no body, has no brain, has no life. It is just thousands of words in contracts and law. It is like saying that a book has personality just because the words in it say that it has personality. Imagine that all humans suddenly disappeared from Earth. Would corporations continue to exist in reality or just in some sort of abstract legal universe? Corporations are the creations of humans over centuries, through the development of the legal code. Capitalism operates with doctrines that are human-made. I identified three of them: proportionality, dispossession, and hierarchies. Proportionality is about linking power to property according to the principle of one share equals one vote. Dispossession is about removing property from its owner to transform it into profit-making capital. And hierarchies are about the unelected top-down pyramid-like structures in corporations. None of these doctrines are natural. They have been made by humans, and they can be unmade by humans. Given his professional career, Mark Carney is not poised to challenge capitalism. It is very likely that he has heard about degrowth or other alternatives to capitalism. Even if that were the case, he's not in the position to initiate radical changes unless some massive popular pressure makes him. He actually wrote in his book, "Radical changes are required to build an economy that works for all." Radical doesn't mean business as usual, keeping capitalism as is, do even more economic growth, more destruction of Earth. Radical does not mean extremism. Radical means going to the roots. And we saw that the roots of capitalism are not democratic. They are most destructive for the future of life on Earth. Therefore, Mark Carney, please listen. We cannot win a radical change under the current electoral system. We would need to abolish elections and have a government by qualified random selection, also known as sortition, similar to how citizen assemblies and juries are selected. We would need to develop a solid package of degrowth policies to decarbonize the economy and fix injustices both in Canada and in the world. We will need to end the imperialist and colonial oppression of the global south by the order of capital that is mostly headquartered in the global north, including here in Canada. We will need to upgrade the definitions of property in order to de-sanctify it and make it compatible with human rights and the rights of nature. If leadership is about humility, then leaders should nurture their egos almost exclusively from the humans they are supposed to lead, which means not just listening, but acting on the will of those affected by decisions, regardless if they are made by politicians or by unelected corporate executives. We live in terrible times. We are facing the extinction of life as we know it. We cannot afford a government that is nothing less than radical. Thank you for watching. The only way to dismantle the elitist status quo and oligarchy is to have a louder voice. We must disrupt the speeches of the super wealthy, disrupt their businesses, disrupt their moves, take power back from them, win our freedom. There's a better way to organize the economy which does not require a flawed electoral system and corrupt neoliberal experts. We can have an economy for life to replace capitalism, with participatory democracy and government selected by qualified lottery. Subscribe to the channel, share the video with your family and friends. Support me on Ko-fi on Patreon if you can to make these videos possible. Talk to you soon. Increase the peace.
I'm a man who can see without using his eyes.
He saw it, I cried. He saw that trolley. This is absolutely unbelievable. I was flabbergasted.
This is a terrific piece of information. This could change my life.
Henry was now almost certainly capable of making money faster than any other person in the entire world.
Interesting.
His name was Henry Sugar. I think people ought to know a bit about what he has done for the world.